السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. From the book Be Mindful of Allah by Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali رحمة الله عليه. Chapter 6. When you seek assistance, seek it from Allah. After He commanded us to be mindful and to become acquainted with Him in times of ease, which is true worship, He advised us to ask Allah and supplicate to Him alone, since supplication is worship. As is mentioned in the hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, quoted by the authors of the four sunans, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam thereafter recited, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ وَدُؤُونِ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord says, call to me, or call on me, and I will answer you. Then He advised us to seek assistance from Allah alone. This is derived from His words, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we worship, you alone we ask for help. It is truly a sublime and extensive phrase, said to be the secret of all of the divine books and their foundation. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we worship, you alone we ask for help. It is truly a sublime and extensive phrase, said to be the secret of all of the divine books and their foundation. He will assist you in religious and worldly interests. Seeking the assistance Allah alone has two benefits. Seeking the assistance Allah alone has two benefits. The first is that the slave of Allah cannot rely on himself in order to perform worship. The second is that he has no one to help him in his religious and worldly interests except Allah. The one whom Allah helps is the one who will be relieved, and the one whom Allah forsakes is the one who is deserted. It is related from the Prophet ﷺ in the authentic hadith, اِهْرِسْ مَا يَنْفَعُكْ وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْجَزْ. Strive for what benefits you. Seek assistance from Allah and do not lose heart. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would say in his sermon and would teach his companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, to say, Alhamdulillah nasta'inuhu wa nasta'hdih. All praise is for Allah. We seek His assistance and ask Him for guidance. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also commanded Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, do not forget to say after every prayer, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. O Allah, help me to remember you, to thank you and worship you in a good manner. One of his supplications was, Rabbi a'inni wa la tu'in alayya. My Lord, help me, and do not help anyone against me. It is narrated that the supplication of Qunut, that Umar and others, radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, used to make, included the following. Allahumma inna nasta'inuka wa nasta'dik. O Allah, we seek your assistance and we ask you for guidance. The following is mentioned in a famous narration, and Musa alayhi salam is reported to have said it when he struck the sea, causing it to split. Allahumma lakal hamd, wa ilaykal mushtaka, wa antal musta'an, wa bikal mustagath, wa alaykat tuklan, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. All praise, O Allah, all praise is for you, and to you are brought grievances. You are the help, relief is with you, and all reliance is on you. There is no power and no might except with you. These supplications show that the slave of Allah needs his assistance in carrying out obligations, staying away from prohibitions, and patiently bearing fate, as Yaqub alayhi salam said to his sons, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. But beauty lies in showing patience. It is Allah alone who is my help. This is why Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, my beloved mother, said this phrase when the people of the slander accused her, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subsequently declared her innocent of their charge. Musa alayhi salam said to his people, Ista'inu billahi wasbiru. Seek help in Allah and be patient. And Allah said to his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, قَالَ رَبِّحْكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَرَبُّنَا الرَّحْمَانُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. Say, Lord, judge with truth. Our Lord is the all merciful, the one whose help is sought. Say, Lord, judge with truth. Our Lord is the all merciful, the one whose help is sought. When he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, gave Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu glad tidings of paradise for the calamities that will befall him, he said, Allah is the one whose help is sought. When the rebels entered upon Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu and struck him, he said, while blood flowed from him, there is no God but you. Glory be to you. Indeed, I have been one of the wrongdoers. O Allah, I seek your assistance against them and seek your assistance in all my matters. I ask you for patience in the test you have given me. Abu Shaykh al-Isbahani quoted from Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam met the enemy in one of his battles, he said, Ya Maliki Yawmiddin, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. O King of the Day of Repayment, you alone we worship, you alone we ask for help. Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, as a result of that, I saw men dropping to the ground. So the slave is in need of Allah's assistance in his religious and worldly interests, as Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu explained to his son, Abdullah, advising him to settle his debts. If you are unable to, then seek help from my master. So he asked him, beloved father, who is your master? He said, Allah. Abdullah asked, whenever I fell into any difficulty in settling my father's debt, I said, O master of Zubair, settle his debt, and he would settle it. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, in the first sermon he delivered on the pulpit, know that the Arabs are like a proud camel whose halter I have taken. I will take it to its destination, seeking Allah's help in doing so. And he did. So much so that he took it to a major part of the world and became the ruler of such a large Muslim empire. If I'm not mistaken, ulama have said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu a longer life, he would have conquered the world. He will assist you in death and beyond. Likewise, the slave is in need of Allah's assistance in the terrors of death and beyond that face him. When death approached Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a man from those around him said, by Allah, he does not like death. Khalid radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, of course, which is why I ask Allah for his assistance. Amir ibn Abdullah ibn Zubair wept at the time of his death and said, I'm only weeping for the heat of the day and the cold of standing, meaning fasting during the day and standing in prayer during the night. He said, and I am here before Allah asking his help with this death of mine. One of the early Muslims said, O my Lord, I am amazed at how the one who recognizes you can hope for someone other than you. I am amazed at how the one who recognizes you can ask anyone other than you for help. Hassan wrote to Umar ibn Abdulaziz, do not seek help from anyone other than Allah, lest Allah hand you over to him. One of the scholars said, be satisfied. One of the scholars said, be satisfied with Allah and seek his assistance, for he is indeed the best whose help is sought. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our death easy.
Ameen.
And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us through it.
Ameen.
And one dua that you can be doing and reading, of course you can make dua. When Hazrat Murshid Alam rahmatullah alayhi taught us this dua, and Mashaykh teach this dua, and you should learn this dua and read this dua, and I'm sure some of you read the dua. اللهم بارك لي في الموت وفيما بعد الموت I'm going to jump chapter 7. The chapter 7 is the pens have dried regarding what is to be, i.e. predestination. I'm going to jump to chapter 8 on benefit and harm being ordained. The hadith that is the topic of this book continues. Do you remember which hadith we're talking about? Oh. If all of creation together wanted to benefit you with something that Allah has not destined, they would not be able to do it. And if they wanted to harm you with something that Allah has not ordained against you, they would not be able to do it. Now I remember. We did it at the beginning. What he means by the aforementioned is that whatever happens to the slave of Allah in his worldly matters, whether harm or benefit, is all destined for him. And something that is not written for him and not destined for him can never happen to him, even if all of creation together tried to make it happen. The Quran has also indicated this similar meaning in his words, قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. Say, nothing can happen to us except what Allah has ordained for us. In addition, his words, مَا أَصَابَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ. Nothing occurs either in the earth or in yourselves without its being in a book. In addition, his words, قُلْ لَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ لَبَرَزَ الَّذِينَ كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَتْلُ إِلَّا مَضَاجِعِهِمْ. Say, if you had been inside your homes, those people for whom being killed was decreed would have gone out to their place of death. Imam Ahmad quotes the hadith of Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَقِيقَةً وَمَا بَلَغَ عَبْدٌ حَقِيقَةَ الْإِيمَانِ حَتَّى يَعْلَمَ أَنَّ مَا أَصَابَهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْتِئَهُ وَمَا أَخْتَأَهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَهُ. Everything has a reality, and a slave of Allah can never achieve the reality of faith until he knows that what afflicted him was never going to miss him, and that what missed him was never going to afflict him. I've given this example before, something I came across many years ago. So in America, and I've told you, remember it, but it's a good example. In America, you have gun ranges, you know, so people buy guns, they keep a license for a gun, and they go and practice in the gun range. So there was a very strange case. This individual went to the gun range and he was in a safe zone, safe area. He was just sat there. But he got shot and he died. So they were perplexed. How did that happen? Obviously, forensics, they do their job of tracing and analyzing and all that. So what they found was, of course, according to them, astonishing. But we believe in the decree of Allah, that if something is going to come, it's going to come. So this individual at the gun range, when he shot his weapon, I don't know how they say it, when he shot his bullet, somehow that bullet missed the target. And when it missed the target, it hit a solid metal or object from which the bullet ricocheted and hit something else, and that hit something else, and that hit something else, at least 5 or 6 times, and it found this man sitting there and killed him. If something's going to come to you, it's going to come to you. And you can be sat in the middle of a fire, and the fire will not harm you. Everything has a reality, and a slave of Allah can never achieve the reality of faith until he knows that what afflicted him was never going to miss him, and that what missed him was never going to afflict him. Developing this element of consciousness, mindfulness, awareness has become extremely difficult. The reason for that is our reality is now such that we have become dependent. We have not become independent. We have become dependent. Our dependence is everything that we have. The gadgets, the cars, the money. At this moment in time, there is only one place in the world that you can learn independence, and that is with the Ghazans. Ask them what independence is and they will tell you. A small 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old child is telling the world what independence is. They're now speaking, and they're speaking in a manner that is, I hear them talking, and yes, I know, I'm indulging in this, what can I do? If you haven't become mad by now, by looking at what is happening, then your remaining sane is your insanity. You are insane. There's no sanity in this sanity at all. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
They are the sane ones in Gaza and Palestine. They have it. They don't need to recalibrate like me and you. They are so strong, they are so positive, they are so resilient. Seriously, of course there's always a reason as to why something happens in the world to people, to an individual, to a group of people. Always there's a reason. And for whatever is happening there, there is a reason. And I have been looking at this for 6 months now. And in my head, I can only keep thinking of one thing. Allah is giving hidayat not to the Palestinians or the Gazans, but to us. Allah is showing us If you are a believer and you believe in me, then you need to understand this. How many people now have embraced Islam? Even the other day, I said, what was that rapper's name I took? Little John. Even he became a Muslim. There's others as well that are being mentioned. Allah knows I haven't sort of looked at it. My interest with people becoming Muslim is to see why and what inspired them. Because alhamdulillah, I've done this before on many occasions and spoken to these brothers that come. I used to do that in the masjid at, well, they've changed the name now from Saddam Hussein to Jamia Masjid. You know, Saddam Hussein wasn't a bad guy. They made him look bad, as they make the Palestinians look bad and the Gazans look bad. Who's the bad guy? You're afraid to take his name. Netanyahu. Not only him, his whole regime is corrupt and evil. Even the marrow bone is evil. Principal message of this hadith. The whole of the Prophet ﷺ's advice to Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu revolves around this core concept. And what follows it and precedes it are branches of it. And they depend on it. Therefore, if the slave knows that no good or bad and benefit or harm can affect him except from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for him, and that the whole of creation together trying to do contrary to what is destined will have absolutely no benefit, then he will know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is the one who harms, the one who benefits, the bestower and the preventer. Once he knows that, then the slave of Allah must declare his Lord alone as the one whose assistance is sought, the one who is asked, implored, and supplicated to. He must also worship and obey only him, since the purpose of worshipping one who is worshipped is to gain benefit and repel harm. This is why Allah rebukes one who worships what cannot benefit or harm, nor does it avail the worshippers in any way. There are many who do not have belief established in their hearts, and they prefer obedience to creation over obedience to Allah, hoping they will benefit them or repel harm from them. What was the amazing things about the Ottomans? Why were they so successful? Because they had absolute and complete faith in Allah, of reliance upon Allah. So they ruled for how many? 400 years? 700 years? 600 years. They ruled for how many years? 600 years. Yet if the slave establishes that Allah alone benefits, harms, grants and repels, then that must lead him to obey and worship him alone. And he will prefer his obedience over the obedience of all of creation. His understanding that Allah alone harms and benefits must also lead to the realization that Allah alone should be asked and only his assistance should be sought. This exhaustive, amazing counsel contains all of these pertinent points. If a slave of Allah is mindful of him, then he is mindful of his limits and upholding his rights, the essence of worshipping him. The essence of worshipping him. Which was the first point introduced in this council. The consequence is that of that is that Allah is mindful of his slave, which is ultimately what the slave seeks from his Lord. That is then followed by becoming acquainted with Allah in times of ease, as it is a requirement for Allah recognizing his slave in times of difficulty, which is the perfection of Allah's recognition of his slave and is included in it. In the council, only times of difficulty are mentioned. He will recognize you in times of hardship, since this is when the slave desperately needs someone to acknowledge him and save him. In this state, even those who associate partners with Allah are sincere in this supplication to Allah alone. They ask and seek only from him because they know that none can remove harm except him. Then when the harm is removed, they start associating partners with him again, as he has mentioned about them and censured them in various places in his book. He commanded us to oppose them and contradict their habits by becoming acquainted with Allah in times of ease with sincerity for his religion by obeying him and seeking his proximity. The consequence of this is Allah recognizes us in times of hardship and help us navigate our way out of them. The Prophet ﷺ followed that by encouraging asking Allah alone and seeking only his assistance, both in times of difficulty and ease. Thereafter, he mentioned the comprehensive principle upon which these issues are based. Recognizing that Allah alone bestows benefit, inflicts harm, grants goodness, and repels evil. None of these can affect the slave of Allah unless he has destined and preordained it for him. In fact, the whole of creation combined is incapable of bestowing benefit or inflicting harm, which is not destined in the preordained book. The next one is going to be hard to digest. Serving ties with creation. Serving ties with
creation.
Who's included in the creation? Everyone and everything. This can only be realized when the slave of Allah severs ties with creation. What can be realized? What we've already discussed. I.e., nothing can benefit except Allah and nothing can harm except from Allah. No matter even if the whole world is one, is on one side or your side. Either way. You follow me?
Yes.
You wake up.
Yes.
Did you? What, 2 hours ago? I haven't slept yet. Except I lay down and I couldn't sleep and I couldn't sleep. And me and Maulana Javed were talking outside, I don't know for how long, and then I went home and then I was up until 9 o'clock. And I started to get a heavy head, so I thought, lie down for a bit. Hota hai. This can only be realized when the slave of Allah severs ties with creation, from asking them, seeking assistance from them, hoping that they will bestow benefit or remove harm, and fearing that they will inflict harm or prevent benefit. This too demands that Allah alone be obeyed and worshipped, that His obedience be preferred over the obedience of the whole of creation, and that His displeasure be feared, even though that means the displeasure of the whole of creation. It has to be narrated in the hadith of Abu Sa'id radiallahu ta'ala anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, symptoms of uncertainty are that you please people at the cost of Allah's pleasure, that you praise them for Allah's provisions, and that you find fault with them for something Allah did not give you. The desire of the covetous cannot find the provision of Allah for you, and the hate of the averse cannot repel it from you. How excellent is the following statement of one of the predecessors. If only you were delighted though life is bitter, and if only you were pleased though creation is angry, if only there was prosperity between me and you, and between me and the world's only desolation, if love from you was true, everything would be insignificant, and everyone on the earth would be just earth. When an individual realizes that all of creation on earth are made of the same substance, soil, or gold, or diamonds, what are they made of? Really, do you believe it? Now, sometimes we think somebody is made of gold and silver and diamonds. When an individual realizes that all of creation on earth are made of the same substance, soil, then how could he prefer obedience to some soil over obedience to the Lord of Lords? Or how can the pleasure of soil be sought at the cost of the pleasure of the ever-giving King? This truly is a strange thing. The Quran has pointed to this principle of recognizing that bestowing and preventing is only in Allah's hands in numerous places, such as His words, مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا وَمَا يُمْسِكْ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. Any mercy Allah opens up to people, no one can withhold. And any He withholds, no one can afterwards release. Also the words of Allah, if Allah afflicts you with harm, no one can remove it except Him. If He desires good for you, no one can avert His favor. Then there are His words. I'll just do the translation because I don't have much time. Say, so what do you think, if Allah desires harm for me, can those you call upon besides Allah remove His harm? Or if He desires mercy for me, can they withhold His mercy? Say, Allah is enough for me. All those who truly trust, put their trust in Him. Qul hasbi Allahu alayhi yatawakkalil mutawakkilun. In addition, there are His words relating to what His prophet Nuh alayhi salam said to His people. My people, if my standing here and reminding you of Allah's signs has become too much for you to bear, know that I have put my trust in Allah. So decide, you and your gods, on what you want to do. And they are his words relating from his prophet Hud alayhi salam. I call on Allah to be my witness, and you also bear witness that I am free of all the gods you have apart from him. So scheme against me, all of you together, and then grant me no respite. I have put my trust in Allah, my Lord and your Lord. One of the early Muslims said, what Allah has destined for me is sure to reach me. Who is there that can repel destiny with precaution? Allah is more entitled to us than we are to ourselves. We are nothing but owned property. A man complained to Fudail, rahmatullah alayhi, about poverty. So Fudail said to him, do you seek a manager other than Allah? One of the early pious Muslims said, plan, but the plan will avail you naught, as fate will not pass you by with all your plans. All matters have a Lord who manages them, and whatever the Lord has determined, fate drives it forward. And whatever the Lord has determined, fate drives it forward. And the next chapter is on patience. I think maybe we should continue, inshallah. Not today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly give us a true understanding.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى سلام على المرسلين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وأنزله المقد المقرب عندك اللهم رب هذه دعوة القائمة والصلاة النافئة صل على محمد وارض عني بذا لا تسخط بعده أبدا اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وازواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وازواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وعلى محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحق أداء وأعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته وجزه عنا ما هو أهله وجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا قومه ورسولا عن أمتي وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيتك كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل علينا ما هم اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيتك كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك علينا معهم صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلتها على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصلى الله على النبي الأمي التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات طيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات لله طيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار آمين التحيات الزاكيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين اللهم اغفر لي واهدني آمين التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله التحيات لله الصلوات لله الزاكيات لله السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله شهدت أن محمد رسول الله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الصلوات لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات والصلوات الطيبات لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله.